Hey guys and gals, welcome back to Bottles and Bottles, the uncut, unfiltered, unprepared podcast where we talk a little bit about music.
A little bit about music, a little bit about whiskey, and a lot about becoming...
Sorry, I was listening to music at the time. So we talk a little bit about whiskey and a lot about the journeys of becoming a first-time dad. We're just going to keep rolling on that one.
Uncut, unfiltered.
Yeah, which we're staying true to it. We're staying true to it.
Through and through.
I will start with saying it is 8 o'clock in the morning, and Adam and I are drinking whiskey. And
I'm ready to kick this one off.
Yeah, it's an interesting morning. Before we jump into it, for those of you not watching on YouTube, we have a special guest. Finally, my wife Morgan is here. Say hello.
Hi.
There you go.
Happy to be here. Finally,
she's here. She's heard a lot about it. She's listened to all the episodes. She's criticized and all that fun stuff. But she's finally here. Bill is not with us today. What happened to Bill? I think he got in trouble or something at home.
He's a good egg. He doesn't get in trouble.
He's too good of an
egg. No, he's being super dad today. So I think this is pretty convenient, you know, with what he's doing.
Bill is super dad.
He is. What I've heard. I mean, think of that household, right? He's got two little ones. And he's got the support of Lindsay. But I mean, he just does it, man.
Yeah.
I wish he was here, though. I haven't seen him in a while.
I do miss him. It's been a couple of weeks since I saw him, so.
He's coming over this week. I think we're going to do some more. But at any rate, interesting, very interesting episode. 8 o'clock in the morning, drinking whiskey. Different crew here, different table sitting in front of us. Mm-hmm. So this is a whole new experience. All right. Well, so today I'll set the agenda here. We're going to talk a little bit about whiskey, as always, not music. And then we are going to pepper Morgan with questions about appointments. Like, what goes on at an appointment? Why do you need so many appointments? What does it feel like legs in stirrups? All that fun stuff.
Real quick, PSA, this is not whiskey for everybody watching.
Yeah, what do you got there today?
We have some Starbucks iced coffee. Love caffeine it. Is okay in pregnancy in moderation. So just throwing that out there, I'm not joining the tasting.
I feel like that would be necessary, right? Like I need a little bit of caffeine in the morning to get going, but you're growing a human.
Correct.
So
I was a coffee drinker before pregnancy, but one cup is safe.
Okay.
One to two.
One to two a day?
Yes.
Just enough to get the wheels greased.
Correct.
What about like an espresso? I'm not a coffee guy, but that's like super high.
A little bit higher. So like one shot of espresso is about the same milligram caffeine count as a cup of coffee, roughly, depending on what you're drinking.
Okay.
Just as like we have different bottles of whiskey and different flavors and origins, same thing with coffee. Yeah. How it's roasted, light, dark, kind of gets you into that caffeine content. So caffeine would be your same thing as like your proof of a bottle.
Correct.
So that's a whole nother world you can get into.
I don't really like coffee.
You're not a coffee drinker, but yes. So Starbucks iced coffee today is what I'm drinking. My go-to, tried and true.
Love it.
Gotcha. All right. Adam, what are we drinking this early morning?
So this is a little specialty. So Bullet Bourbon, they released single barrels. Private single barrels. So I am part of a bourbon club. They had a representative from Bullet come down and they brought a whole bunch of different selection of their private stock. And the liquor agency, they pick out specific barrels that they want for their club. And, you know, a couple months later, it shows up with their own stamp of what they've got in there. So this one's 104 proof.
Good morning.
It's aged about 10 years from what I was reading on the different barrels.
So as we talked about last episode, the youngest barrel. Oh wait, is this a single?
This is a single.
Okay. So this is just coming from one barrel.
Right. So this flavor is just out of this barrel from the Rick House.
And that was aged for 10 years.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's gotten a lot of good review. It's hand selected by those at Ellicottville Spirits.
Shout out.
Yep. They've got a great little club there. Awesome people, take care of everybody. And they do about four bottles a year. And this was the March release.
Gotcha.
Just popped it this morning.
So do you get four bottles throughout the year that are basically handpicked?
Correct.
From the experts of this whiskey
club? Yeah. Unfortunately, okay. Us being here in Ohio, I don't get to attend all of the tastings. Man, they've done some really cool stuff. Old Elk, Bullet Bourbon, where they'll come in with their full spread of everything. I mean, Bullet's a little bit, select, because they only do four, right? So they've got their bourbon. They've got a 10-year bourbon.
Okay.
They've got a rye.
Yeah.
And then they're also doing these single barrels. And then every once in a while, they're going to do a release of barrel proof.
Mm.
Now, back in the day, Bullet's been handed around some different distilleries. And I believe it was most recently, they were roped up into with Four Roses. So when this was initially released,
yeah,
it was mixed in with the Four Roses barrels. So when the owners of the liquor agencies went down there, the person kind of like elbowed him and were saying like, this isn't what you expect it to be.
Yeah.
Suggesting that it could be Four Roses.
Oh, so okay.
You're looking at some really high quality barrels at about a $60 MSRP for 104 proof. That's going to be very similar potentially with what Four Roses is. So I'm interested to what you think this is going to taste like.
Yeah.
And reading some of this stuff online with the other barrels that were released, they were saying it could be some specific, they were trying to pull out the specific recipes from Four Roses of what it would be like. Mm. It's an interesting flavor. I'm a big fan of Bullet.
I never really have been a big fan of Bullet.
Well, but with my thing, I do mixed cocktails.
Yeah.
Primarily. I do appreciate bourbons and ryes. But Bullet is always a really good one to mix. It's a lower price point. It's good flavor. And it'll kind of get you there with a nice mix of everything. So I'm going to go ahead and take a step back. We'll enjoy a couple of glasses here this early morning. And we'll get started on some appointments.
I cannot believe you guys are drinking that at 8 a.m.
Well,
I mean, you got to do what you got to do. But Props.
Cheers to you, my man.
Cheers. Sorry, Bill. You're missing out,
He's here in spirit. It's okay.
I don't think so. I think his spirit is changing diapers or something like that.
I think that's pretty easy at 104.
I think so, too.
I think that's okay.
104,
That's slightly above my sweet spot. I usually like a bottled and bond, but that and anything below it.
That's really easy. I could put that on cereal. We got any Cheerios?
We do, actually.
Oh, sweet.
That and a side of pancakes, huh?
Be good to go.
All right, so breakfast is what gets you started in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And really, with pregnancy, first appointment is kind of what sets off the whole trajectory of what you guys are going to be going through and kind of leads us to where we're at now.
Yeah. So we'll talk about some appointments, because I think appointments is something I had no idea about. When we first found out that we were pregnant, Morgan, started booking these appointments, and I'm like, do we go like every week? Do we go every other week? Mm-hmm. I had no idea. Is it like a monthly thing? So what are like the standard appointments, and like what's like the timeline for what is actually needed? Now you're in a different scenario because you work in labor and delivery. You constantly are talking to doctors, getting scanned, all that kind of stuff. But for the average person, what's the appointment schedule look like?
Okay. So to break it down pretty simply, find out you're pregnant, take a pregnancy test at home. My first phone call was my doctor.
Mm-hmm.
Let her know. I had a positive
thanks for that, by the
pregnancy
way.
Test. Sorry. A couple first people, call. First call is the doctor. Second person that knew was my nail tech because I had a nail appointment that morning and I had to tell somebody. So she knew.
They know where the body's buried.
I had to tell somebody. I was too excited.
If I don't show up one day, start with the nail tech.
Shout out to Taylor for my nails where I'm going today.
Love it. Love it.
Anyways, so called my doctor. She wanted me to come in for a 6-week appointment. Okay. Now, mind you, I found out really, really early. That was probably 3 weeks and 5 days
pregnant.
But see,
you had an idea of how far along you were.
Correct, because I was tracking everything.
You track everything.
Now, not everybody does that.
She tracks the dirty. So she knows, she knows what days the child could have been conceived.
Help me real quick understand. Tracking is like on the watch.
Yep, so I have an app.
Okay.
I use Ovia. Okay. The Ovia Health is the app that I use, and you can track your cycles on that. You can track ovulation. So there's really only a specific time in a cycle that you can conceive.
Okay.
And there's test strips that you can use for that, which I was using.
Okay. So you were planning.
So yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Gotcha. Yeah. It was really the first month that we were kind of like, okay, let's just track and see what happens. And
yeah.
Here we are. But, so I was tracking using my app. So I had a very accurate idea of when this happened and how far along I was. So
well prepared.
But for an average person,
well, some people track, some people don't. I think it depends on if you're trying to get pregnant or if you're kind of just like, oh, we'll see what happens. Some people don't really, most people probably don't find out till they're more about 5 weeks, I would say, till they miss their period.
So that time between when you found out to when you went to your 6 week.
Yep. So it was about a little over two weeks. And it was pretty anxiety provoking because you don't really know. You don't feel pregnant. At least I did not have any symptoms in the beginning.
Right.
Still really don't, but
some of the things you typically experience in that,
like nausea, fatigue, and that's pretty early. Some of that stuff I've been told doesn't start until you're 6, 7, 8, 9 weeks.
Okay.
You know, first. Well, and I feel like that's a common thing you see in movies where people are like surprised that they're pregnant. Mm-hmm. You know, like they have no idea until they start getting morning sickness or something like that. Right. And then it's like, oh geez, now I need to take a pregnancy test.
That's a scene where they're just looking like vision of the door, you hear a toilet flush, and they walk out and they're like, oh no.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So like that's like the typical movie scene. That's kind of like, that's the only knowledge of that whole experience that I've known. So this was like very different for you to have everything like so organized and planned.
Mm-hmm.
But so that's when you would actually call your doctor, whether you're planning or not, once you
get a positive
pregnancy test. Mm-hmm. Call your doctor and you, I mean, they're, if you're past 6 weeks, are they just going to say book an appointment right away?
Yeah. So I had a 6 week ultrasound that they had me come in for, and that was solely based on my doctor's recommendation because of my cycles. I didn't have super regular periods, so I wasn't exactly sure how far along I was. And the whole point of a 6 week ultrasound or early ultrasound is, to get accurate dating. So you want to get in as early as you can to get an accurate due date.
Okay.
Gotcha. So they know where you're at in the process.
Correct. Because the smaller the baby is at that time, or the fetus, they can get more accurate measurements the smaller it is.
So that's how they determine
your
roughly how far along you are in your due date. It's actually pretty cool. Like they pulled up on like the ultrasound screen and it's like,
I mean, it was the size of like a grain of rice when we saw it.
But they take all these measurements and it's I don't know, it's pretty cool. So.
Yeah, they do what's called the crown rump length. So they measure from the top of the head to the bottom of the butt or the bottom of the feet or however the baby's laying. Mm-hmm. And they get really accurate measurements that way.
And then they can track it from that point.
Because you're 6 weeks in 1 day, 6 weeks in 2 days, that's all going to look different.
Yeah.
The measurements. So we went in for that at 6 weeks. Which was exciting. We got to see the heart rate, which we were told we may not get to see.
Yeah.
They were able to do it just with an ultrasound on my stomach. However, there are ultrasounds. They're called transvaginal ultrasounds. Mm-hmm. They look like long probes that they obviously use.
It's a little bit more invasive than an ultrasound.
Go on.
It's transvaginal. So where do you think it goes?
It goes in the vagina.
And it tells you.
Now, how long are we talking? Because I never got to see this. How long are those probes?
I mean,
about as tall as this, or
roughly,
yeah,
maybe a little bit bigger.
Do they?
I've never had one. However, I've seen them at work, and I've been told that they're a little uncomfortable.
Yeah,
nobody really wants to have that.
A lot of that is uncomfortable, right? Like it's just foreign items.
Yeah.
What's the girth like on those things?
I'm not sure. Mm. I mean,
I'm just trying to figure out how uncomfortable it would be.
I mean, they do them pretty routinely. A lot of women need them.
It's only vaginal, doesn't go through cervix or anything like that.
It's vaginal, correct. Yeah, and they don't do that unless they need to. Yep. So they tried on my stomach. They were able to see a heart rate.
Yep.
Fine. Don't have to do it.
We've identified. We're good. Moving on.
Yeah. So that's 6 weeks. Not everybody needs that, though. Some people will just, their doctor will say, okay, we'll schedule you for what's called a new OB visit. And you can have that any time in the first trimester. I think I went in at 10 weeks for that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where you just kind of go in. They ask you all about your health history, your family history, go through a lot of education on what to expect. Mm-hmm. So they went through with me, like all my appointments, how I would be scheduling them out. things to look for.
What kind of things would you, what kind of things should you look for? I wasn't at this one.
Yeah, you didn't come with me. Like blood pressure. So usually in the beginning, your blood pressure isn't abnormally high or anything like that. But you, you know, they go over warning signs of like preeclampsia, diabetes,
just risks, you know,
bleeding. Yeah. Stuff that shouldn't be happening. Just so you know, kind of warning signs of what to look for.
And what time frame? We had the 6 weeks and then we had the...
I was at 10 weeks for the new OB, but I've seen people go in at 8 weeks, people go in at 12 weeks. That's kind of just like a rough...
So,
first trimester.
So the first one's kind of like, okay, we've established you're pregnant. Mm-hmm. We've established roughly what your due date is.
That's 6 weeks. That's the first appointment.
Yep. And correct. Like I said, that one's kind of like not every doctor, not everyone has that 6 week ultrasound. Yeah. Many of my friends didn't. A couple of them did.
Right.
Kind of just dependent.
But it's more so, okay, we've determined that yes, you in fact are pregnant.
Yep. Yep.
Your that's next potential episode, number one. Let's get with your OB.
10 week.
Yeah. So let's get with your OB so they can go over what things to look out for. Yep.
Family history. Talk that's about a family big thing. History. Yep.
Okay. Gotcha. How about next one, the third?
So yep. And the second one, the OB visit is not an ultrasound. Let me just state that. That is just strictly you and your doctor or you and a nurse talking. Yep. That your first real ultrasound, or for me, my second, for some people first, is the 12 week.
Yeah.
Not anatomy. I'm sorry. 12 week ultrasound.
Okay.
This is the nuchal translucency test. So I don't know. Remember, you came with me to that one.
I did.
They measure like the back of the baby's neck, the folds, and it it's like a genetic screen.
Okay.
It'll
the
give you
folds.
Yeah, like the folds behind the neck. If they're
what does that indicate?
Could be Down syndrome.
Okay.
Other kinds of genetic conditions.
Okay.
So that one was actually, I think I liked that ultrasound better than the second one, because
well,
we got
it
to
was,
see more, that I was felt the like, and we got to really see the baby.
Yeah, but think, in our last one, we couldn't see too much because we don't want to know if it's a boy or a girl.
Correct.
So, but I agree, for us, that was a better appointment. We don't want to know the gender of the baby, so it was like, we got to see everything, because at that point, you weren't going to see anything you're not supposed to.
Right.
It's too early,
it's
to,
too
tell
early to tell
if it's a boy or a girl.
Yep. That's in the third.
That'll be like around 20 weeks, correct?
Okay. Yep.
Okay. Yep. See, I'm learning.
You're learning. I'm proud of you. So yeah, so the 12-week one is more, you know, the genetic stuff. They're looking to make sure, like the, like I said, the neck folds, make sure all the pieces and parts are there that should be there. Yeah.
Okay.
And then the 20-week one.
That's a big one.
It's a big one. The anatomy scan. So at this appointment, you can generally find out the sex of the baby if you haven't already. They do, there's all kinds of ways to find out the sex of the baby nowadays. They do the early blood test. You can do that at like 8 weeks, which is baffling. Some people wait,
that's wild,
till the 20, a lot of people just wait till the 20 week anatomy scan.
Is there an accuracy rating from like 8 weeks to 20 weeks? Like, can you say,
I would have to say that 8 weeks would be less reliable. However, I have seen people, you know, get messed up where they think they're having a girl and then they show up and it's a boy.
Oh boy.
Now, is that common? No, it doesn't happen often, but it does.
Still
so
happens.
I don't know.
All right. So then we're at, that's 12 weeks.
20.
That's 20.
20
anatomy
weeks.
Scan is 20.
So usually you only have about two or three ultrasounds through your whole pregnancy.
Okay.
So for the most part, I mean, I'm going to have one more. I'm going to have a growth ultrasound around, I think she said between 28 and 32 weeks.
32, yeah.
Just to see how the baby's measuring. That'll be four for me. Well, fourth appointment. Ultrasound. Yeah.
Roger that.
Yep. So you have a lot of appointments. You have maybe three or four ultrasounds through your whole pregnancy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That makes sense.
Yeah. What are the other appointments? Because we basically covered the there's basically find out if you're pregnant, and then you have your first like appointment, non-scan.
Yep.
Then you have your 20 week. Then what?
So you go about every 4 weeks just to your doctor in the beginning. So from week 10 or so until about week 20, and then 24. And then you go every 2 weeks in the second trimester, and then weekly at the end.
So it intensifies.
It intensifies. What do you think that they're checking for?
They're checking to make sure you're still sane. You're saving money. You're painting the baby's room.
What are they checking for?
Medically, what are they checking for?
So the appointments actually are kind of boring. You go in, pee in a cup. They send that off. They're checking for protein in your urine, which could be a sign of preeclampsia.
Hold on.
Oh boy.
I forget that I'm not talking to medical people here.
Yeah.
Hold on. Preeclampsia.
Preeclampsia.
Okay.
So preeclampsia is a high risk condition where you're spilling protein into your urine. Essentially,
rather than your blood pressure
is going high. Well, no, you just don't want to be spilling protein.
Okay.
It means your kidneys probably aren't functioning.
Okay. I was like, how does protein just spill?
It's a medical term that we use.
Okay.
But
it's a little bit more involved.
Protein is
like your body's just
getting rid of it rather than utilizing it. Yes.
Got it.
I was just picturing like a cup, just like loosely like throwing protein around on your innards.
The innards?
Yeah. No. Okay. So you're checking for your cup.
Yeah. You pee in a cup. They send that off. That would tell them though. That's what the doctor's looking for is are you having any protein in your urine? Is your blood pressure high? So they take a set of vital signs. Pretty simple. They get your weight. They want to make sure you're gaining weight appropriately, you know, not gaining too much, not gaining too little.
Right.
And then your doctor comes in and you kind of chat about how you're feeling. You know, she asked me how things are going, what my symptoms are. And then they check the baby's heart rate, not with an ultrasound, just with that little, it's called a Doppler.
Doppler radar.
Yeah. So an ultrasound,
power of five.
ultrasound, you can see the baby, where a Doppler, you just hear it.
Okay.
So
that's the one you get at work all the time.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
Pretty much every time you work.
I haven't done it in a while, actually.
So I know you alluded to what things feel like. I'm kind of curious. The Doppler, the ultrasound, what is the sensation of that? Because you get a gel, right?
Yeah.
That makes it gel. What does the gel do?
So the ultrasound, when they do the ultrasound, they squirt gel like all over your belly. Mm-hmm. And that just helps them monitor so they can see, you know, with the radio frequency waves and all that stuff.
Yeah. I looked this up. It like intensifies the signal.
Right. Is it like heavy pressure or is it?
Yes, it is heavy pressure.
Okay.
I wouldn't say it's uncomfortable. It's just pressure pushing on your belly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the Doppler is much lighter than that because it's a tiny little, the ultrasound probe is probably
like a little microphone.
This wide? Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Actually, the Doppler is about this wide.
So about the size of a silver dollar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yep.
And then they just find the heart rate and you listen to it for a minute maybe. And then you're on your way. Cool. But yeah, I wouldn't say it's painful at all.
Okay.
Just pressure. Right.
Okay. So we are just passing the...
We are 23 weeks.
We're 23 weeks.
4 days.
So we had our 20-week anatomy scan. And have you gone to the doctor since, or are you like in between now?
I'm going on Friday.
To pee in a cup. Friday.
To pee in a cup.
Make sure you're not leaking protein.
Correct. check my blood pressure, check my weight.
Right.
And I'll just check in with my doctor.
Make sure you're still feeling good and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. And then I'll have another appointment the end of July.
Okay.
That'll be like my 28-week appointment. Yeah. And then at that one, they'll probably do my glucose test, which I know
we've talked
about a lot.
All right. Before we dig into that, we're going to take a short break here. We'll come back and we'll polish things up. Alrighty, welcome back to Bottles and Bottles, the uncut, unfiltered, unprepared podcast where we talk a little bit about whiskey and a lot about the journeys of becoming a first-time dad. We're coming back from a little break here. And before we left the break, you mentioned something about a glucose test. Can you elaborate on what that is and why I've heard so many people are miserable while doing a glucose? Do you know anything about a glucose test?
No, all I think about is sugar, and sugar makes most people feel good, because, I don't know, I brought over some munchkins today, and that's just pure sugar and bliss in a box.
Delicious, by the way. Thank you for bringing those.
Of course. I hope you guys enjoy.
The baby's happy.
Yes, absolutely. So I'm only thinking good things. Apparently, from what you're alluding to, is this is not a comfortable experience.
Yes. So I cannot speak from experience yet.
Okay.
I will be doing mine... So a glucose test is done between 24 and 28 weeks. So I'm approaching that 24-week mark. So I'm going to have to schedule it soon. It's a standard test that they have everybody do, and it is essentially ruling you out for gestational diabetes. So diabetes in pregnancy. Mm-hmm. You have to chug a 50 gram of added sugar drink, and then they check your blood sugar 1 hour later to see how your body.
It's a casual soda.
No, I've heard it's terrible. So my cousin is pregnant. She's about 6 weeks ahead of me, along with one of my good friends. They both just had to do it and did not have good things to say about it.
Meaning that it just makes you feel uncomfortable. How big was it again?
It's 50 grams of added sugar.
Of on top of a liquid, a water, a it's saline.
I've heard it's like a very, very sugary Gatorade. So okay. It comes in a couple different flavors, like orange, lemon, lime.
So they've attempted to try and make it good.
I think they've attempted.
Sometimes that makes it worse.
But it's like Pedialyte. It's just very, it's very sugary, and it's filled with all kinds of added sugar or added,
viscosity is very thick.
I'm imagining it to be thick. Probably I have thick not and drank grainy. It.
So it doesn't have a lot of legs?
I don't believe so.
Well, it would have more legs. If it
would
was
it have
thicker.
More legs?
If it was thicker, more viscous, it would have more
maybe
legs.
Maybe we should just
it
break into that real quick. So with a whiskey, if it has legs, it moves quick?
No.
It moves slower.
It moves slower down the glass. So I got a Glencairn glass here, and I'm kind of rolling it around the outside.
And this is what you try to do to see if it has legs.
Yeah, you kind of see if it has, like, you can kind of tell.
I feel like
the,
this moves a little bit quicker.
Moves a little
it
quicker.
It looks like it's moving quick.
Right?
Yeah. Sometimes if you roll a whiskey around a glass and then you let it settle at the bottom, you'll see like little drips of whiskey come mm-hmm. down the side. Those are the legs.
All right. So I think viscosity is a little bit thicker, and what we're thinking about here is
right.
Not quite a milkshake, but no, not quite a Gatorade.
It's definitely not a milkshake. You drink it quick, but it's filled with, you know, high fructose corn syrups and added dyes and all that artificial stuff. Mm-hmm. So I've just heard it doesn't make you feel great. You sit there for an hour and then they check your blood sugar. So every hospital is different, but roughly 135 to 145, I guess, depending on the hospital. You want your glucose number to be under that.
Okay.
So and that's just the amount of sugar in your body, correct?
It's all about how your body's metabolizing the sugar.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Cool. So it's all about your insulin, you know, diabetes, mm-hmm. all about insulin and insulin resistance. So in a normal person, you know, your sugar should come down and you should be pass it and you should be fine. Mm-hmm. Now, sometimes it comes back elevated. So if it's above that 135 to 145 or so mm-hmm. Range, then you have to repeat it. And you have to do what's called a 3 hour glucose. So then you have to drink it again. And then they check your sugar at 1, 2, and 3 hours after. So it's like an all day process. You sit there all day and get your blood sugar checked.
They're not giving you building blocks to play with, are they?
I don't think so.
Probably not. Maybe a book or two.
A book. But my cousin had to do it. She did the 3 hour, and actually her and my friend both had to do it. And the one sat there all day and the other one was able to, it was close to her house. So she said she would check her blood sugar, go home for an hour, go back.
Oh, okay.
So that was nice for her.
Yeah. Now you can refuse this, right?
You can technically refuse anything. You know, it's your body.
But it's for your own safety,
it's
right?
For your
they're
own
doing
safety.
These things to try
I
and help.
I talked about
you and the baby.
Yeah. Yeah. You want to do what's best for you and your baby. Obviously it's a personal decision. Everything in healthcare really is. You can refuse anything you want. Mm-hmm. I am not a huge fan of drinking the drink. I'm not looking forward
to
it.
Guzzle a syrupy like
don't.
I don't know if you've ever I'm guzzled not. An entire 32-ounce Gatorade and just had to sit there for an hour.
I don't
can't say that. Yeah.
I'm not
a big guzzler to begin with.
Neither am I, and I don't drink sweet things. So I'm not
That's
as
true.
Sweet.
You don't,
I don't drink pop. I don't drink Gatorade. I don't drink.
As sweet as you get is like seltzer water.
Yeah, like that's like unflavored. I don't do sweet.
What if they can
wine?
Add it to that?
No, so actually I found a really great alternative that my doctor is okay with, and I'm super excited. So it's called the Fresh Test.
Okay.
I found them from a blogger on Instagram that I follow. And
do you know
she
her name?
Used it. Yeah, Molly Thompson. Shout
Molly
out
Thompson.
To her.
Sweet.
What Molly made on Instagram.
Oh, cool.
Actually, I've known her for a long time.
What's up, Molly?
Molly's great. But her journey is actually kind of cool. She talked about her PCOS and like how she healed her body and got pregnant, you know, with her kids. So anyway, she had posted about it. And it's three ingredients. So it's organic dextrose, organic peppermint extract, and organic lemon.
How does this fit in within the test?
So it's the exact same amount of
sugar
and carbs that you would need.
But it's just like natural.
Yeah, it's more natural. So there's no artificial dyes. There's no like high fructose syrups, none of that. It's just simply sugar, lemon and peppermint. She said it tasted like a fair lemonade that you'd get at, you know, at a county fair, which sounded much better to me than.
Can you add ice or is that like change?
Actually,
the,
that's a good question. I'm,
I wonder if that
they're allowing like this to be like a more BYOS, bring your own sugar type of thing now.
Yes. The thing, and I'm straight up asking my doctor if I can just eat a pint of Mitchell's and
that's well, I think they need like a consistency, don't they? They got to break this down to a scientific study.
Mitchell's is ice cream for those of you not know.
Oh, it's the best.
I could go for Mitchell's right now. Well, maybe at noon.
It's early.
Hey man, I'm really liking this whiskey, by the way. This is good.
Yeah, so I have my appointment Friday. I already ordered the test. It actually just came to yesterday, but my doctor will be fine with it. Molly said that her doctor in Columbus, she's in Columbus now. Uh-huh. They have a list of things that they can choose. So they can do the normal Glucola test. Mm-hmm. She can do this fresh test, or she can do there's some kind of jelly bean like ratio
that you can
pop some jelly beans. Yeah,
I would prefer that.
It's all about
I'm an eater as opposed to a guzzler.
But obviously this is check with your doctor before you go and just do any of these things. Cause every doctor is going to feel differently about it.
Totally.
But, if you're looking for more of a natural route,
right.
I thought the fresh test was pretty cool.
I think that's kind of the beauty of it. You can start to make these things more yours.
Yeah. Right. Cause obviously I want to do what's best for the baby. And I want, if I have gestational diabetes, I would like, you know, I want to be treated appropriately, so I have to do it.
Now, you're going to take that stuff to the doctor, or do you drink that at home?
So normally you drink it at home, and then you go to the lab and get your blood drawn.
Okay.
So I'm just going to bring it with me Friday to my appointment and have her review it, but I had mentioned it to her. She was cool with it.
So this is something you do after your 20-week?
It's between 24 and 28.
Okay, that's your glucose test.
Yep.
And then you've got your appointments. Yep. You know, just kind of peppered in there. Yep. We're going in for one more between 28 and 32.
Mm-hmm. For a growth.
For a growth scan.
Yep.
And then the rest of them, you're going in, peeing in a cup, talking to your doctor.
Yep, just checking in.
How are things
in.
Going? That
and
kind
that's
of stuff.
The 4-week and then the 2-week mm-hmm. and then the one every week. Once a week in the third trimester?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Actually, I think it's usually once you hit like 35, 36 weeks, they just towards the end. Because that's really when
if full term? 40?
37. 37 is technically full term, yes. Okay. But about 35, 36 weeks, they want you to come weekly. So they're that's when your blood pressure normally would start elevating and stuff at the end.
Cool.
Good deal.
And then what do we have from there at the end? I mean, that's just, is there anything after that last glucose test?
No, not really. The growth scan is really, that's probably pretty much it. As long as you have a normal pregnancy. Obviously, if you have high risk issues going on, you're going to be seeing special doctors and stuff.
Do you continue to go to your OB until you give birth? Or is there a certain point where it's just like, well, good luck.
They set you a sale and you're on
your own. So my last appointment, I actually have all my appointments scheduled out, which is kind of crazy.
Jeez.
Mm-hmm. So we're due October 19th. My last appointment is October 11th. So I'll be 38 weeks and 6 days. So right before that 39 week. And then if I'm still pregnant, you know, the next week, say I go to my due date, I would probably have another follow-up, but I didn't schedule that because we're being hopeful here that maybe I'll come early.
Okay, maybe let's take it after the due date. What's the first appointment and how far after?
After the birth.
Yeah.
6 weeks.
6 weeks.
So it's crazy to me though. So you bring your baby in usually two days after the baby's born. Mm-hmm. You have to come back.
Oh, what?
Yeah. You bring the baby back right away, but the mom doesn't get seen for about 6 weeks, which I think is kind of...
I'm sure if you wanted to, you could be
You get so much attention before.
I know. And then it's like 6 weeks later, see you, mom.
Yeah.
You're not sleeping. You're not, you know.
Yeah.
Interesting.
That's just
I think that's where the dads come into play.
Oh, yeah.
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 And kind of speaking of the dad, what appointments did you actually want me at? And what appointments do you think are necessary for the guy to be at? Let's take this from a guy's perspective now. Mm-hmm. So we know about all these appointments now. What does a guy do?
So I think it's really important to just be supportive of your partner. For me personally, I wanted you to be I'd love for you to be at all the appointments, but I think the biggest ones are the ultrasounds.
Yeah.
That's when you see your baby. That's really where you get a lot of the information. Mm-hmm. I think the new OB appointment is good if you really don't have any kind of background in
And I can only watch you pee in a cup so many times.
Yeah. I think it's good to come to maybe one or two
every
of those.
Every Friday is good enough for me.
Come and, you know, I think it's good though. That's where you meet the doctor, because the doctor normally isn't doing your ultrasounds. It's an ultrasound tech. So I think those appointments are good. You get to meet the doctor. But I think the ultrasounds, you know, you could unfortunately get bad news at some of those appointments.
Sure, you
could
find somebody there.
You need support. I mean, getting that news by yourself would not be easy to handle. So
it's a good point. Then you're there real time. Because that'd be kind of an awkward conversation. Like, you're dealing with your emotion, right? And if the guy's not there, then they have to figure out a way to kind of break that to them.
Right.
Yeah. It's best to kind of go through that together. So
guys, just be at all the scans.
Scans, I think the ultrasounds.
And there's only two or three of the, you know, two or three, maybe four during a pregnancy. There's not many. I think those are important to go to. And you want to see your baby.
I was going to say, the technology is so cool now.
It is. Yeah.
Where they give you these, like, 3D... scans. It looks like a model. It almost looks like you could print it like into like a 3D baby, which, cool. Hey,
3D printed, maybe 3D, little figurines.
That's not a bad idea.
They have those like studios that do, like, you can pay out of pocket to get those ultrasounds done later in your pregnancy. They have like those studios. I don't know if they,
where they actually print like those little,
no,
skull,
I don't think
studios being,
no. Like there's one in, on the east side in like Highland Heights or something.
Oh, like,
you know,
about? It's a 5D scan.
Or a 5D?
Yeah, where it's like, they basically do like what you would normally see with a scan, and then they use artificial intelligence and it creates what would be a 3D virtual model of your baby. So you can actually see like facial profiles.
Yeah.
Like all that kind of stuff. I'm talking
5D
about
5D versus 3D, real quick.
No clue.
Got it. Okay.
No clue either. I don't know.
There's a Google search this next week.
What I'm talking, maybe that's just the name of it.
Sure, sure.
What I'm talking about is have a 3D printer on site. You can print an action figure.
Oh, buddy, I'm right
figure.
There with you.
Print an action
an
figure.
An action figure.
Of what
that's
size,
a real thing.
What size is our baby right now?
Mango?
It's about a mango. Yeah.
So.
Mango.
How cool would that be if we could actually print a 3D physical piece of plastic to have in our hands and go, this is what's in your stomach right now. Like this. And then you could do it every time. Like, that'd be so cool. So
you remember when you used to, like, on the doorway, you mark your height, right?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
A little 3D scan, maybe put it all the way at the bottom. There
watch
you
it.
Go.
Watch it grow.
Yeah, exactly.
Slowly.
That'd be kind of fun.
Yeah.
We might need to invest in a 3D printer. Not that we have the technology.
Maybe I'll make a stop later today.
I don't know that we have the technology to convert an ultrasound into an actual 3D printable model, but
there's some cool stuff out there, but that's cool. So we are kind of complete with all the appointments.
Stuff.
I mean. Yeah. So I think to sum it up, like I said, 3 or 4 ultrasounds during the pregnancy. Partners, I think important to go to those, and then pretty much seeing your doctor every 4 weeks in the first trimester. And then you're just going about every 2 weeks in the second, and then every week towards the end after like 30
right.
weeks.
And probably the guy also, along with going to the ultrasounds, at least, you know, go to a couple of the appointments, definitely like one to, I mean, you got to meet the doctor.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think it's important.
You got to meet the doctor.
Yeah.
Cause the people that are doing your ultrasound, they're techs.
Right.
They're not, that doesn't mean you're meeting with the doctor. So like even the first time we went in for, you know, an ultrasound, I kind of left and I was like, I don't remember you mentioning that doctor's name. And Morgan's like, no, that's just that's the tech. She's like, the doctor wasn't even there.
Right.
Yeah.
So you never know who you're going to get when you go in for your actual ultrasound. You're gonna have to go at a separate time to actually meet with the doctor who's going to be delivering the baby and checking all your family history and you know, making
sure
that
every hospital is different. Fortunately, where I work and will be delivering, my doctor will come in hopefully from home when it's time. Mm-hmm. Some of the other hospitals, their doctors don't do that.
Yeah.
So I think that's important to figure out too early in your pregnancy if you want your actual doctor to be there to deliver.
Sure.
Ask early on because they don't all have the capability to come in.
And you're able to find a different doctor if you want that option. Okay.
Yeah,
cool.
I think it's more hospital systems. Like some aren't allowed to come in. Like they're only on call certain days. And so if you don't go into labor that day, then you're kind of just stuck with who's there.
Right, right.
So cool. I think it's important to have that relationship through your whole pregnancy.
Yeah. Sounds good.
Some good foresight to give our listeners and watchers out there. For sure. Thank you for taking the time this morning.
This is fun.
It's great to have you on.
Yeah.
I appreciate you waking up early before Orange Theory because you're still working out, still doing your thing.
Super mom in the making.
Yep.
Trying over here.
But let's wrap it up now. First of all, before we close down, I really like this Bullet.
I'm a fan. I like their whole lineup.
Single barrel.
Mm-hmm.
This is good stuff. Yep. Easy sipper at 8 a.m. I guess you could
say. I do want to propose once this baby's born, I would like to be featured on a Wine Wednesday.
Mm. Oh, I love it.
Or we could do a whiskey wine Wednesday.
Mix it up.
It's in.
Yes, because I cannot partake in the
It's fine.
No, but I will gladly join y'all for some wine.
Okay.
We will need something special uncorked from you.
You got it.
Maybe something from your favorite out in Napa.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have a couple bottles ready to go.
Love it. Good. Looking forward to that. Thanks again. Good luck at the workout.
Thank you.
Corbin, sign us off.
Yeah. Let's... We really want to get some more engagement on Instagram. So we haven't done a lot of promoting yet, but we're in that phase now. We've had a couple companies reach out to us. You heard from the Mumsy. There's a couple other people that have reached out. We love those partnership things. We want to get these products and these cool ideas out there and cool mom and dad pages and stuff like that. So we're just trying to share this stuff. So follow us at Instagram at bottles.n.bottles. We're also on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, Spotify. And with that being said, as always, bottles up.